20 minutes now before 11 o'clock. I'm so happy that we were able to pull this segment off, and I'm really happy that you're tuned in to hear it, too. I think Kathleen and I were talking about this, gosh, probably 6 months ago, if not longer, don't you think?
I think maybe January.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, quite some time. And Kathleen is with Gildas Club of Western Pennsylvania, and she is program manager for youth programming. It's Kathleen Petula. And this is the second annual Gildas Club Teen Writing and Art Contest. Or actually, this is the brochure for... I'm trying to think, is this the first year for this or the second year?
It's the second
year. Okay, it is the second year. I had to think for a minute. And tell me a little bit about why you're doing this and also how it works, sort of to rewind back to how the kids who we're going to hear from in a minute, what was the process to get involved?
Yeah, well, first, Gildas Club is for anybody touched by cancer. So we have social and emotional support, and we're in the Strip District. So what we were finding is that we were getting lots of people coming to Gildas Club for support who were older adults and who were younger kids, but teenagers were really hard to reach. So some of the other Gildas Clubs initiated a writing contest for teens, and we thought that was a great idea. So last year we had our first writing contest, and this year we expanded to have writing and art as part of the contest. And it's really just a forum to engage teenagers so that they can let their voices be heard about how cancer affects them.
I read a lot of the essays, including, I think, or there's also a poem or two. I think we're going to hear a poem today. But it was amazing to me how diverse they were, because being impacted by cancer can mean yourself. It could mean a friend, a family member. And they really were real. And that was, I think, the best part of reading them and of sharing them. And it helped me see some different perspectives that I hadn't seen before. We're going to talk a little bit later, just before 11 o'clock, about some of the other things that happen at Gildas Club. But why don't we meet our writers and make sure that we share what they brought today for us to hear. And I know I found it's really hard for me to judge things. And I think Kathleen will attest, I think my point spread was like, you know, somebody, I can't remember the ratings, but it was like, if it was on a scale of 1 to 10, this was a 9.56, this was a 9.55, this was a 9.5, you know, it's really hard to differentiate because everybody wrote from a different perspective. We didn't really have apples to apples, you know. And so although I'll announce the place that each person took, that's the nature of the contest. I really think, I know it's cliche, but I think everybody really won, so to speak.
We had, I think, five judges, and everybody picked different winners, so you're absolutely right. It's very hard to judge, but it was great to have you as part of the judging panel.
It was a pleasure. And we're going to start with Meredith Jamie. I got that right. And Meredith,
yes.
You go to Fox Chapel Area High School?
Yes, I'm going to be a senior in the fall.
Congratulations. Have you thought about life after high school yet?
I'm looking at a lot of different colleges. I'm not sure yet.
Well, that's about the way it should be at this point. At least it was for me. I can remember that like it was yesterday. Do you know what you might want to major in?
I have no idea at all.
That's the way it was for me, too. Well, your piece, they all speak for themselves. I would just like to have you share it, and then we can talk a little bit afterwards.
Okay.
It's called Robert.
I dismissed the ringing phone yet again. I wondered why you could be calling me for the sixth time. I just didn't care. I didn't want to talk to you or hear your voice. We're just friends. Well, a little more than friends now. You always call me, asking to hang out, but I don't want to. I never really wanted to like you wanted to. I think you think of me as more than a friend, but I don't want to be. For a week, I ignore your constant calls. It is easy to do this as I lay under cabanas, drinking virgin strawberry, mango, and peach margaritas. You're not in my mind as I busy myself with snorkeling, tanning, and taking boat trips. But I couldn't stay in Aruba forever. Spring break had to come to an end. I saw your texts in the airport, so many what's ups, hey's, and even a picture of your new puppy. I smiled. I really didn't care, seem to care the way you did. Reality came crashing back on, down on me in Pittsburgh. He has cancer. Those words made my entire body freeze. My mind stopped momentarily before thoughts came rushing in. I couldn't find words. A blank, shocked expression covered my face. So that's why you kept calling. I felt overwhelmingly filled with guilt knowing that I'd brushed you to the side. My immature preoccupations were nothing compared to this. I saw you for the first time since I found out. You looked so different, like a hungry, pale porcelain doll. It was shocking. I remembered your shiny blonde locks of hair that used to be there. I sat awkwardly by your bed. Neither one of us wanted to address the inevitable. I wanted to make you feel better, if that was even possible. I wanted to be there for you and tell you that you'll be fine, you're strong, and you'll get over this. But it was hard for me to get over the fact that you were no longer so cheerful and full of life like you always were before. I tried to hide my discomfort by trying to say anything funny, even if it wasn't true. We sat in your dim, sterilized room, sucking on lollipops and chewing on Hershey's Kisses, while a silence filled the room. It was the silence that neither one of us could fill, the pauses where I wondered why cancer had done this to you, and the dreadful seconds where I wondered if you could overcome this. You called me last weekend. I told you that I wanted to see you, but I really just wanted to see the you that you were before this poison filled your body. I want you to be able to go back to normal. I wish I could fix it. You never deserved this. Why does this little thing called cancer decide to do this? Why does it pick victims that are such innocent, undeserving souls? I think it chooses the strong ones. You always have been strong, but you never deserved this. I deserve this for not being there when you needed someone more than ever. I let you down. I didn't stand by you when you needed me to be there. I was a coward. I didn't want to feel and accept the sadness, so I tried to avoid it. If I could go back and do it again, I would have been that more than a friend that you needed. I'm sorry for cancer, its victims, and of course you. But the fight is not over yet. I know that you will keep fighting, and I'm going to be there for you. I'm sorry that I wasn't strong enough before. I'm afraid for you, afraid of the unknown and uncertainty. But I know you, and I will do everything that I can to help you through this. I heard that you were in the hospital again and that you were really sick. This time I'll be the first to visit. I'll send you teddy bears, chocolates, and love. I'm going to face my fears of losing you, and we are going to overcome this battle one painful day at a time.
Well, you're not only a good writer, you're a good speaker and reader, too. That was beautifully done, Meredith.
Thank you.
Is Robert real?
He is, yes.
I figured he must be. Did you share this with him?
I actually haven't yet. I'm really nervous about it. I don't know why.
I would be too. You may just have. I don't know if he's local and listening to the radio. It took a lot of courage to write it, I think. And the part you wrote in it about cancer choosing strong people, I thought was really a nice thing to say. Because you do wonder why me, or why, you know, somebody in my family. And I thought you showed a lot of empathy in writing that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the piece?
It's really a real piece to me, and one day I sat down and wrote this. I actually wrote it for a class, but it turned into something a lot bigger than that, and it just all sort of came to me when I was writing it, and I really like it, so.
Well, thank you for sharing it, and before I forget, I wanted to give you a chance to say hello to anybody you may wish to, if you want to. That's up to you, anybody who might be tuned in.
Well, my sister, Maddie, and also my creative composition teacher, Mrs. Green.
Terrific. Thank you. And next, we're going to head over to Dominic Moore after talking with Meredith Jamie. And Dominic is in ninth grade at North Allegheny Intermediate High School. He was a third place winner. Oh, I remember yours, too, which I enjoyed. He'll read it in a minute. How are you, Dominic?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Tell me a little bit about what prompted you to write what you're about to share.
Well, my dad's friend emailed him about this contest because he knew I had cancer as a kid, and he told me about it. So I got kind of interested, so I decided to write basically my story about what happened to me.
Well, it's good that you wrote it. I immediately wanted to ask you some questions, but what's nice, and I'll bet you've been asked a lot of questions, is you've answered a lot of them in what you wrote. Your piece is called An Open Letter to Young Cancer Patients, and let's take a listen. This is Dominic Moore.
I began having stomach pains in the middle of the night. I was checked into Fairfax Hospital for tests. My parents were very worried, but they finally found out what the problem was. At the joining of my large and small intestines, they found a dime-sized tumor. It was diagnosed as Burkitt's lymphoma, which is highly aggressive but very rare. I was immediately admitted to surgery, and a doctor fed along my intestines until it was found and removed. After the operation, I remained in the hospital for further tests and treatment. 4 days after my surgery, I ended up celebrating my 4th birthday in the hospital with my parents and other family members. And the next day, we all got on a plane to Portland, Oregon, where we were moving into our new home. Everything was happening at once. After our arrival, we drove to Dornbecker Hospital, where all my papers had been handed off to a new doctor, Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones had been recommended to us by the doctors back in Virginia. I was implanted with a port and began a series of chemotherapy treatments lasting several months. I thought Dornbecker was a great adventure. It's an amazing hospital for children, and there were always games and videos and activities for me to do. I was never bored there. My hair fell out due to chemo, which I thought was the coolest thing ever. After treatment started, I was allowed to go home until my temperature reached 104 degrees. When I got a fever, I had to go back to bring my fever down and begin my next round of treatment. I was very involved with my chemotherapy. The nurses let me numb the injection site and even pull the plunger. This process was repeated over the next weeks into months. And finally, on Halloween 1999, I was discharged for the last time. And now, 12 years later, I'm still cancer-free. It's been known to reoccur, but thankfully it has not been the case to me. I still have scars on my lower abdomen and over my heart that are daily reminders of what I went through. I thank God every day for letting me be here and to enjoy life to its fullest. And so I wrote this story to encourage kids to help fighting cancer by listening to my story so they know that they can do it too.
It was well done and also really well shared. Do you have pretty strong memories of when you were 4 and when all this was going on? You must, I guess.
I do. I really got impacted onto my mind. I remember doing a lot of the things at the hospital, like the activities and helping with my medicine and stuff like that.
Do you ever visit kids or have you spent time with younger kids at Gildas Club that are going through this or maybe that have older brothers or sisters or parents going through this?
Not really, not yet. I only just discovered Gildas Club whenever I first started to write this, so I've only been there once. I hope to go back more times to help out, though. Well,
that's great. I'm glad you found that there's another good reason, right, Kathleen, for having this contest, because I think you would have, all of you, but you in particular, given the route you took with what you wrote, would really be able to help provide a lot of encouragement to younger cancer patients. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to or anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I know my grandmas are listening right now, so I just wanted to say hello to them, but other than that, yeah.
Well, very good. Hello, grandmas. And let's go to our next winner, who is McKenna Trimble, who's in 9th grade at Fox Chapel Area High School. Hi, McKenna.
Hi.
And you wrote a poem, and I remember this poem. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You're heading into 10th grade, I guess.
Yes, I am.
And what do you like to do?
I like to write, I like to read, and sometimes when I have time, I like to knit.
Ah, knitting's getting popular again, which is good. Now, I guess we'll have you share your poem first, and we'll talk a little bit about it afterwards. It's really powerful. It's called Cracked Reflections of a Broken Woman in a Sweater, and it's by McKenna Trimble.
She was a sprite in a world of giants, short and bobbed and quick to finish. She liked to talk anyway. She could fit my sweaters but never use them. She wore big things, billowing and baggy, hemlines to her knees and knuckles. She would hide from mirrors, never saw herself whole. Sometimes she would cover them with cloth to be blind. Something was missing, a door without a house, a house without a door to let in, let out. It was in the way she moved. She would jump from place to place, dart away from mirrors. The secret would catch her if she were still. She was broken, she was missing a piece, then a part, then a whole. Cancer had devoured her, surgery spit her out. She was tied back together with thread. She was left naked and broken and breastless, a midnight not pierced by glimmering stars. She hid behind wide smiles, big sweaters, plastic replacing what she missed. Life had kicked her to the curb, no taxi around. She was short and sweet, but shattered, and there was something else. Cancer could not break her woman's heart. I could feel it beat like a song when I held her. She stood in front of a mirror one day. Her heart broke the glass. The reflection came back cracked, but still whole. She was broken and beautiful, scarred and stunning. She was very tall in that mirror. She wore my sweater once. She spun around in front of the broken mirror, looking at where her pride showed through. She said, "I love everything about me, all the broken parts and missing pieces." This sweater fit her perfectly.
If you don't mind asking, was there a person you had in mind?
Yes, it was my mother.
I thought so. That poem made me think of my mother and when she had Hodgkin's. When I was about 16.
Oh, wow.
How old are you?
I am 15.
Yeah, and you really brought back a lot. I mean, my mom, her surgery and treatment was probably not quite as aggressive as your mom's from the way it's described, but I can remember, I don't think upset is quite the right word, but just being distressed maybe is the better word. Have you shared that with her?
Yes, like she found it on the printer, so I don't
know. Oh,
I don't think she realizes it's her, but she might.
I bet she does. That's really, it's beautifully written. Do you like to write? You must.
Yeah, I do. But usually I write short stories, so to write a poem is kind of like out of character.
Well, and you read it really well. It's not, I don't know, it's kind of neat to hear people read poetry that they've written. They all have everybody has their own, you know, way of doing it. And thank you for sharing it. It's really personal, each of you. Is there anything else you want to add? Thank you. And next, we have the person who ended up taking first place, who's Julian Vining. Is it Vining or Vining, Julian?
Vining.
Hi. I got it right the first time. I should always quit while I'm ahead. And where are you this morning?
I'm in New York, Albany.
Okay. And is that what brought you to Pittsburgh or this area?
I found Gilda's Club online, and I found the writing competition there, and mm-hmm. I just thought my story that I wrote was a great fit.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad that the story, that this opportunity connected you. And it's Emma Willard High School. That's where Julia goes to school, and she's just finishing up ninth grade. And your story or your work is called Another Tomorrow. And could you please share it with us?
Sure. I come up from a place called Ordinary. I was just a regular person with my average life, the same routine of getting up, getting dressed, eating breakfast, and going to school, the same lives that almost all people live every day. But one seemingly ordinary day, my entire life became anything but normal. I was just a little bit more tired than average, but I thought nothing of it. I thought I'd be destined for a predictable life like all people hope for. Nothing strange or unexpected could ever happen to me, so I thought. But that little bit of atypical tiredness led to a strange fever and a few odd bruises that nobody could explain. So on that day, a new row began where the ordinary one ended. A doctor named Specialist told me that tiny cells would take over my normal life and change me forever. Those little cells were the mastermind for this crime called leukemia. That doctor told me this disease was a form of blood cancer, and it is a disease that has the potential to change my life forever. Now, even in my little town of Ordinary, I have heard of this peculiar disease named leukemia. I wondered, how could this happen to me? I thought nothing terrifying could ever happen to me. Something changed within me during those next few excruciating long weeks of laying in that white room. The doctors assured me they could cure the cancer and bring me back to normal. They poked and prodded me, sticking needles, both big and small, into my body. However, the needles were nothing compared to the major treatments those doctors escaped me. They called it chemotherapy and said it would get rid of the growing cancer cells that were taking over my body. The first few treatments of chemotherapy left me feeling miserable. I felt as if I had been hit by a truck. I was so tired after each treatment, and I could feel sleep. I feel as if I could sleep into eternity. My whole body ached and screamed for the treatments to stop. Even food didn't have the same appeal as it did before. The doctor said chemotherapy would help me get better, but how could something supposed to heal you hurt so badly? After a few treatments, I started to feel different. I felt as if I was unique from everyone else. No one else I know has ever been through this type of affliction before. I didn't know anyone who could completely understand what I was going through. It was a very strange feeling, and I couldn't put my finger on this new emotion. I'd never felt this way before, but somehow I knew I would have to confront and tackle this feeling for the rest of my life. Although those agonizing tests and weakening treatments left me like a fallen warrior, I felt something new inside me that most people in ordinary might never have dreamed of experiencing. I figured out, as time moved steadily along, what those feelings were. I had a hope for a deeper sense of faith, hope for seeing another tomorrow, hope for being able to overcome this disease. My faith grew and transformed into something bigger than myself. Faith deep in my soul that I would live for just one more day and then another. A faith that could change in this world, that I could make a change in this world of a not-so-ordinary disease called leukemia.
Thank you for sharing that, Julian. And is there anything you'd like to add about what you wrote?
Yeah, well, when I lived in Ohio, I had a good friend who, she was touched by leukemia, so I decided to write a story about it because she really inspired me.
That was terrific. And have you had leukemia as well?
Or, no.
Okay, so you wrote the story from her perspective.
Yes.
Okay, and thank you for answering that. So it's really neat, the approach. We have four very different approaches, a poem, about a family member, your mom, that you heard just written by McKenna, and Meredith wrote about a friend with cancer, and Dominic wrote about himself, and then also about a friend, Julia, in your case, and just really well done. Thanks, Julia, for sharing that with us. And let me turn to our other three writers. Well, Julia, let me ask you, is there anything else you'd like to share at all?
Really?
Okay, well, that's okay. It's hard since we can't see each other. I'm glad you participated. Who would you like to say hi to that might be listening now or later when you listen online?
I want to say hi to my parents and my little sister, Olivia, who are probably listening right now.
Great. Thank you. And is there anything else that you three maybe wanted to say that you forgot or anything? Congratulations, Dom. That'd help if I turned your microphone on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I was just thinking if anyone was looking to help with cancer, there is a relay going on called Relay for Life. There's many events across the Pittsburgh area. I'm actually captaining a team for the North Allegheny Relay for Life, and it's just a great way to raise money for helping fight childhood cancer. So if anyone wants to participate, you should go to relayforlife.org and check it out.
Thanks, Dominic. And either of you, anything to add at all, Meredith or McKenna? Thank you. Thanks for being here. And let me turn to Kathleen. Congratulations on such a great contest and such great writing.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us and for your participation in being one of the judges. I know it was a very difficult task, but we were so glad to
I
have
enjoyed
you participate.
It. Yeah, it was fun to an extent, except for what I felt like I had. You should have seen me with all these things in front of me, but it was great. And I know the art competition went well, too.
It did.
And people can find more information about Gildas Club. It's an easy website to get to. It's just gildasclubwesternpa.org or 412-338-1919. And I hope you'll be back again. We'll do some more things together.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thanks to you all. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings. At 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUPFM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and live and on demand at slbradio.org. Mostly sunny today, high 84, a 60% chance of thunderstorms tonight, low around 65, possibly hail, according to the National Weather Service, a 30% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 81 degrees. We've watched the temperature go up about 15 degrees since we started this morning at 6. It's now 71 in Grove City, 72 in New Concord, Ohio, 70 in Washington, 66 in both Indiana and Clarion, and at 63 at our studios in historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.